Sister Freeman, if you would lead us in prayer as we start today's service.
Let us bow our heads. Heavenly Father, thank you for another day to serve you. Thank you, Father, for letting your peace around us this morning.
Yes, thank you.
For letting the hurries and the worries of this world fall away. We ask that you continue to direct our comings and our goings. And thank you, Jesus, for helping us to remember that even when life goes wrong, you are the good shepherd who cares.
Yes, thank you.
The faithful friend who stays with us. The adoring Father who watches over us. The strong rock that helps us stand firm. The protective shield that guards us from danger. And the adored counselor who guides us. Lord, we give you and you alone praise and glory this morning. And thank you for your faithfulness.
Thank you, Lord.
Lord, we pray for man's sinful nature, his rejection of God's presence, his willfully walking in disobedience, his serving the desires of the man in his body, his being enslaved to sin, his not having faith, him choking out the word with other interests.
Yes.
Lord, we know that you are in control of every situation, that you have to influence time and space and move people into the right places at the right time. You say it in Psalm 139, 5, verse 5 through 11, and in Luke 15, 9 through 6 and 10, that you are able to stop time,
yes,
calm the sea, or do whatever is necessary to bring man to himself. Lord, we pray for Bishop Huff this morning, who tends your sheep. We ask that you continue to bless him and anoint him as he spread your word. Bless him for answering your call to teach and minister to your flock, Father. We pray for Sister Cuff and ask that you continue to fill her with your grace and your peace.
Please, Lord.
Gracious Father, please bless the Word of God Church and the Julius C. Freeman Senior Outreach Ministry.
Please, Father.
Father, let each of us give our heart and soul to do your work, deepen our love and strength for each other. Thank you for a blessed Christian family here at the Word of God Church,
yes,
a true gift of your grace, Father. We pray that you give each of us worthy eyes, alert ears, tender hands, and swift feet to help the needy, the lost, suffering, the disobedient, the hungry, the homeless, the sick, and the lonely. Continue to give us strength, courage, and confidence to do whatever it we need to do to spread the good news. Father, we give thanks and give you all the praise and glory for being our Lord and Savior,
yes,
for being in our lives from the beginning of creation, for carrying us when the load becomes too heavy, for lifting us up when the mountain is too hard to climb, for helping us keep our eyes glued to you when it seems that we're about to go under, for reminding us, Lord, to take each moment of our lives with delight and gratitude, for being patient with us in our humanness and stubbornness, for consoling us when we are too consumed with grief to get out of bed, helping us to face up the wrongs and the bitterness in our lives, for blessing our family, Lord, from generation to generation, for all the miracles, Father, that you have given each of us, and for allowing us to remember that when we see, well, what we see in this kingdom is temporary, but that what we cannot see, Father, we know is eternal. Lord, you care for us as no one else can, and you know our hearts, you know our needs better than we do. Father, we cannot see past today's crisis and today's circumstances,
well,
but you all tomorrows and able to bring about the eventual good that we have yet to understand. Father, we have no need or no reason to be afraid of anything, for you are in control. You care for us, and you promise never to leave us. Jesus' holy name, amen.
Amen. Let church say in Jesus' name.
Amen.
God bless you, Sister Freeman, and you continue to let him use you in the way that he's using you. This morning, I want to tell you a couple of things that will benefit us as a church. I mentioned on many occasions that I had no claim to being a visionary. Now I'm starting to understand that it's not the person, but it's the Christ, the Holy Spirit, that gives you visions or directions. that carry us from one place to the next. It is my belief that this church will grow this year. Amen.
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 And that it will grow exponentially, which means it'll grow outward, and there'll be people in Maryland, in Northern Virginia, in Dee and Chip's neck of the woods, and all over. We'll have people that will come in because they see the presence of the Holy Spirit at work, and they will come seeking the simple, plain truth of the gospel. No hype, none of that we are accustomed to, but just plain believers trying to live for Christ, have no predetermined motives. And so with that thought in mind, we have to do a little planning and think ahead. One of the areas that we've already accomplished, and that is by having a church website, and I'm happy to report that people are continuing to download and to go over sermons. I didn't check the count this morning, but it increases every week. And there is a part of the Julius C. Freeman Outreach Ministry that can work relatively easy. You just send somebody to the website and tell them to check the message, and it will give them the opportunity to review now, I think, 3 pages of sermons, which tells you how time moves. And there's no restriction. I don't care if it was an hour and 54 minutes like one a couple weeks ago. That server is capable of holding everything we put on it, which is not normally the case. The second thing is that as part of this extended family, which Jesus really made clear that it's through all the ends of the earth in Matthew's 28th chapter, verse 19 and 20, I have had a concern that when we take communion that we all are taking the same thing. I can't visualize, I have no way of knowing what we're using for communion from household to household. And the other thing is that as we grow, there will be many more. And so I've taken the liberty to order us communion cups and the wafer already prepackaged, and they'll be coming out to everybody. So all you really have to do is go in the refrigerator and get the pack out. And if you have people visiting you, and when we have people like Nikki has a friend that's in Japan. And you know, the funny part is that the Bible says, often as you do this, you do it in remembrance of me. And I really wonder how many people have taken communion in the last month, 2 months, 3 months. Or how many people really realize that that's not something that we're asked to do? We are what? Commanded to do that. Amen?
Amen.
And so we have to keep marching. The CDs, we're back on track. And I apologize for part of it was we had the wrong CDs, didn't know it. I like the Kingdom Supplies. The name of it was called the Kingdom something. But they sent the new one out free, didn't charge us a dime for it, and gave me a will call. We took it to the FedEx. They shipped it back. We didn't have to pay for it. And so I like that idea. And so now we have to get busy. We now have the capability to outreach. One was for the food bank here in Richmond. We now have the check, Mimi, and we'll get the check out. That Sister Freeman had dropped by on her journey north. And so we have to get back our committee of Brianda and I believe Nikki and whoever else that was to look for outreach. We have a serious problem in Africa, in Darfur as well as in Somalia, mostly women and children who have no place to lay their head. Literally hundreds of thousands, over 200,000 women and children are living in mud huts, tents, and one lady had 10 children. Husband was crushed during a storm, and she don't even know where she's going to find her next meal at for 10 children. And then I was talking, how do they take a bath, or how do they go to the bathroom? And we sit in homes and can wake up and not give God the blessings that he has given us. Can I get a witness?
Amen.
We must be our outreach church. One, because that's the name that we have, the Julius C. Freeman Senior Outreach Ministry. And we have to be persistently doing outreach work. Amen?
Amen.
Amen.
I thank you for indulging me with that. I normally would have done that maybe at the end, but I felt the need to get that out. We have to always be looking at ways that we can reach people. I'm finding out that even those who we give the CDs to, that they're not listening at them. I talked to my sister, who obviously has been sick, and she's had that first CD. It is a CD, right? Or DVD? CD.
CD.
That it was talking about letting not your hearts be troubled, and who needs to hear that more than her? She does. And yet she still has not listened at it. I talked to her the other day. Now, we're talking about a month, almost 2 months. And here's the problem. And, Sonny, if you're listening at this, and I hope you are, because I speak what the truth is that she can't listen at it because from sun up to sundown, my brother-in-law is listening at the politics. And so I ask that you pray that he'll free up the component or whatever it is to let her hear that. She can't make it to church every Sunday because she has that oxygen tent that she has to keep with her. See, church, here's where we come into play. There's nothing that can block us from God's word. Amen?
Amen.
And we have to help others to see and hear and to experience the blessings that we have. Turning back to our text for the morning, which comes out of 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 11. I have read this to you on many occasions. It's one of my favorite, if I can say I have favorites. It is one of my favorites. Acts 2:42 is another one. And obvious, John 3:16. And Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2, among many others. But this morning I want to focus in on 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 11. And I would like to use as a sermon title the concept of voluntary simplicity of the mind and soul. Forgive me, I couldn't figure out how to make that shorter, but I had to get all those components in there. I could have easily said the voluntary simplicity of the mind and the soul. And what I will attempt to do by the power of the Holy Spirit is to persuade you that there has to be a drastic change in our being that we create by the power of the Holy Spirit and our desire to voluntarily follow the lead of the Spirit. Can I get a witness?
Amen.
I have talked to you on many occasions about the Amish people. They are people that believe to their core the faith and the life of a believer is not complex. You know, so many times we say that we can't get this right, I can't do this. And I'm here to tell you that the scriptures bear witness that we can. You see, the world that we live in is in a hurry. And I'm sure we could all say amen to that.
Amen.
You have people riding dangerously through streets on cell phones and PDA systems and worrying about how they're going to make up the sales. I don't know if you've noticed the increase in junk mail that you get.
Yeah.
And now they done messed up the house, and now they're going to tell you how they're going to fix it. It's a terrible situation we find ourselves in where mothers are skimmering to and fro to soccer games and and this and that, as Elder Williams used to say. But the Amish have found freedom for the mind and the soul in adherence to the simple life that the Bible tells us to live. Can I get a witness?
Amen.
The text says that make it your ambition to lead a quiet life. Did you understand that it says make it your ambition, or you could say make it your goal or your desire to lead a quiet life? Some of us have no concept about what it is to be quiet.
Amen.
We go about in a noisy environment. Yesterday afternoon, sat in the car while Connie went into Kroger's, and I sit in the car because if I go in there, I start picking up stuff and run our food bill way out of whack. I got some blueberries in the refrigerator that they were fresh when I got them. I'm sure they're not now. Maybe I can make a little glass of wine out of them or something. But the bottom line is, I sat in the car, and I'm in a handicap, and on the other side of the handicap is a car with its headlights on, the windows all fogged up, and a great big, I don't know if he was a boy or a man, but he was big as I am, and he's got the music blasting out of the car. And every time I hear this boom, my head hurts. And I had to learn to be patient and to be quiet, because the devil's jumped up on me 3 times, said, go over there and tell him, turn that off. But the other side of the coin was, I start praying for him, because I don't know if he was handicapped, or I know he was mentally handicapped. And so I did what I knew to do in Traverse situation, is prayed for him. You see, a lot of folks have no concept of being quiet. They go from room to room with turning TVs on. Oh, come on, lights.
Yeah.
And there is no time that they're quiet until they go to bed, and then they still ain't quiet. And then the devil races through their minds all night long. Because, see, the brain is a funny thing. It only operates on what you put in it. You ever hear the saying about a computer in, junk out?
Amen.
That's what the Bible teaches us. It says, guard your heart and your mind. And so what do? We listen at all kinds of stuff. We listen at cops and robbers and people shooting people and black males on the TV all evening on the local news. And then we go into the 7 o'clock hour, and now we're following all these pundits. And it's no wonder time we go to bed, we can't sleep. For our mind has never slowed down. It's been bombarded with sounds, loud, unruly sounds. Can I get a witness?
Amen.
And so this morning I want to make the case that Paul has laid out, that we must make it our ambition to lead a quiet life, to mind our own business, and to work with our hands, just as he told us. Amen, brother. Yes, yes, yes. I just love it when he gets fired up.
Amen.
Now, y'all listen closely, because this concept is in the Bible, and as you search the scriptures, you will come across them, but you must be looking for them. And so one of the things about concepts is you have to understand the concept. You can't just repeat words and say things. You know, like on Bible study, I ask you a question and somehow look at their footnotes and they'll express it. Get in the habit of reading and then interpreting.
Yes.
Where you put it in your own words, which means you're eternalizing it. You see, I've encouraged y'all to read through the Bible or listen at it on CDs, preferably, and then you can internalize a whole chapter, and you get the whole concept of the chapter. And John MacArthur taught me that he says that he'll read a book until he knows the whole book. He knows where and what chapter, what verse, where things are. And that's a possibility if we study to find ourselves approved. We've got to really want to know what goes on in Scripture. We're almost finished Romans chapter 12, but the question I beg of you is that, do you know what is in Romans 1? Do we understand what happened in Romans 2, 3, and on? Because Romans 12 says, therefore, and therefore means everything that preceded chapter 12. And so I encourage you to look for concepts, as we shall do this morning. One of the things that is necessary and has been proven in scriptures and churches going back to the beginning of time was the simplicity of life. Justice and freedom and all these terms we use in this culture we live in all can be positively impacted if we practice voluntary simplicity of life. You have people who came here in the early stages of this country who did that. The Quakers were one, the Amish, the Shakers. These people voluntarily chose not to follow the patterns of this world. Romans chapter 12, verse 2 tells us, no longer follow the patterns of this world. And so you and I must come to some realization that we can no longer follow the patterns of this world. Because the patterns of this world keep you from renewing your mind. Can I get a witness?
Amen.
Romans 12, 1 and 2 tells us that it's a reasonable sacrifice that we present ourselves as holy people. That's not a phrase, that is a concept that we have to change. And you know, church, one of our major problems is that we've got too many feet in the world. That to look at these concepts almost seem foreign to us. And that's why the Bible teaches us over and over again, if you love the world, the love of Christ is not in you.
Amen.
You can't have your foot in the world doing anything and everything that worldly people do and be a shining light. You can't shine when you're in the darkness with the flashlight off. Y'all come on with me.
Amen.
See, instead of us having the ability to minister to people, we have to deal with it from a carnality point of view. Amen, lights.
Amen.
We have friends and people that we know that need the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
And what do? We talk about cardinal things with them. We don't even think about the Christ to the degree that we are always on the battlefield. As I talked to my sister the other day, I was ministering to her because she's been in the church like I have all of my life. And I start asking her questions about the tradition of the church, and she couldn't understand it, and I told her, well, go to Acts 2:42 to 2:47, and you'll see the New Testament church. She asked me three times, what was that again in Acts? People are hungering and thirsting to know the truth.
Amen.
You don't have to have lived but a half a day to find out that this world ain't true.
Amen.
And so, again, this notion, this model that we must live a quiet and peaceful life has foundation in Scripture, and we see the reality in this kingdom. Right down on the other end of this street, Bree's mother lives, it starts on her side, it's called St. Charles. And at the end of St. Charles, hidden back up in the woods there, is a Mennonite church. they don't follow any of the patterns of this world. No one even knows they're there. They're not advertised. They got a little sign as you come up in there. But they're not sitting there like the church around the corner from them, Faith Landmark, with this great big gigantic edifice sitting up there. You see, God is not found in buildings made by man's hands. Can I get a witness?
Amen.
But he's found in the hearts of men and women, boys and girls. And in order to find him in your heart, you have got to live a quiet and peaceful life. I had the occasion the other day to hear a phone conversation where one of our members was with a person who was espousing Christ. But the child was so loud that I knew that was not part of the concept. You see, the Bible teaches us to be quiet and gentle spirits. Oh, come on with me now. Emotionalism is not a part of the teachings.
Amen.
The Bible said, watch your feelings, because they are what? Deceitful. And so as we are required to test spirits, it becomes easy to test some spirits. Get in a conversation. If you're in a conversation over 10 minutes and you don't hear nothing related to Christ, you got a problem.
Amen.
And you might as well say amen. The Bible says that you and I must keep our minds on him, stayed on him both day and night. And in everything we do, acknowledge him, he will do what? He'll direct your path. But if we be so busy that we can't hear him because we're being drowned out by the hustle and the bustle of this age. Talked to my son the other morning, who calls every morning, and he was running late, which he normally is, God bless him. And then he gets to work, and before he can get in the parking lot good, the troubles and the cares of this world took over. Now, one morning has he got to that parking lot where he's, I got to go. He said, why's the car door parked there? And then, you know, he's on to his day. Listen to me closely. That is not the way God wants us to live. Stressed out. Don't you know that stress is the cause of a lot of our sickness and illness?
Amen.
Being stressed out. The mind don't have time to stop and to reflect on Christ because we're so busy chasing the wind.
Amen.
Let me give you some scriptures so that you don't think that the bishop just sent up here talking some concept and all this stuff he's talking. Acts chapter 2:20. I encourage you to take these down. Verse 35 says, in everything I did, I show you that by this kind of hard work, we must help the weak. Remember the words of the Lord Jesus himself said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. Listen at me. You and I cannot give to anyone when we are stressed out, messed up, misdirected, have no sense of where we're going. We are told that we are to live quiet lives, we are to mind our own business, and we are to work with our own hands so that the outsider can see how Christians live who are blessed.
Amen.
I listen with great excitement to this commercial that comes on. I don't know the company, but they're all in a conference room, and the ladies puts the phone on mute and calls the guy who's obviously her boss. You don't get it, pal, you dummy. And then a black guy comes in the room and she asks him, Harold, what are you doing here? And he says, I come to fix the mute button.
Ooh,
yeah.
Man.
And I remember that when I sat in a glass conference room and the executive, which was a woman who would say the same thing. Somebody come in to bring somebody. I know, what do you want? Listen at me. You can play that corporate game if you want to, but I don't know too many of them at the top who aren't stressed out. Okay. Oh, come on with me now. Look at the governor of New York. He had to go pay somebody $4,000, call himself release and stress. Yeah, that's really funny. He could have came to me for free, and I'd have told him is that you've got to slow your roll.
Amen.
You've got to have a quiet life. Now look at him. His life is ruined.
Amen.
Let me follow through with that. Now, would they put a blind governor in there and say, well, I know this boy ain't going to do nothing wrong because he's blind. And since he's been blind, he done had two affairs outside of his marriage. Now, come on with me, somebody. How you gonna have an affair and you blind? One of them was a coworker, was an employee. And then he pulls his wife blind and say, now she did it too.
Amen.
And see, here's the situation. When you allow yourself to fall outside of this concept, you are waiting for trouble.
Amen.
Because it's coming. Romans chapter 12, verse 11 says, never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. You and I must have zeal to serve the Father. You can't serve the Father and the world.
Amen.
Matthew 6:24 says that you either love the one and hate the other. You cannot serve two masters. Can I get a witness?
Amen. Amen.
You serve that money, and I'll tell you, you will leave here with not one dime. And if you don't watch it, you'll get stressed and run trying to catch up, and you'll end up spending every dime on your health. Y'all might as well say amen.
Amen.
You chase that wind, and I assure you, as it is said in Ecclesiastic, you will not catch it. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 12 says, we work hard with our own hands. We are cursed. We bless when we are persecuted, and we endure it. That's talking about this slow, simplistic life that the Amish go through when that sick individual came into a school, a simple school, and killed 11 girls. Those people don't bother nobody. They live a simple life. Let me for one moment give you some clue about what happens when you live a simple life. They don't have electricity. So when we start having these roaming brownouts and blackouts, oh, you didn't know they coming? Watch the tsunami. They're coming. You see? And so what happens is that we're going to then have to figure out what they've figured out. If you're living a simple life, you don't need electricity. Now, I know the bishop's gone crazy now because we do need electricity. No, you don't. If they live day by day without it, they go to sleep at a reasonable hour, like 7 o'clock or 8 o'clock, and they sleep all night. Let me hip you. Why? Well, one, they're eating fresh fruits and vegetables that they pick off out of their gardens while there's still nutrition in them. Two, they make all their clothes. You know, there's no fashion show in Amish land. Connie and I walk through the mall, and I notice with amazement that she'll be at a good pace. And she'll see some dress, and she'll stop in her tracks. And I've told her more than once, you go stop, and I don't look up, and this 360 pounds gonna lay you flat. Because I'm always obviously behind her. I can't keep up with her. But look, next time you go to the mall, at all the clothes in there, that you don't know how much they cost to make them. Here's the bottom line. You can make your own clothes like the Amish do. They dye their clothes. They make everything that they wear. Every bit of furniture in their house was made by them. The buggies that they ride, they make them. That's what happens when you live a quiet life and mind your own business and work with your own hands.
Amen.
And now, we might say that that's not possible in this modern world. I beg to differ with you. You can go throughout the Middle East and you will find people who don't have the foggiest idea what a light is.
Amen.
In fact, church, you can go to most of the world. Don't have all that. The poor Chinese, they were better off when they didn't have it. Now they're making everything that we need here, and now they need all the junk we need. And that's why gas ain't going down. They need the gas in order to drive their little cars and get around. You see, they were riding bicycles for many centuries.
Amen.
But no, we got to have Dollar General items. And they're the only one can make it. And while I'm on that subject, watch the prices of everything go up. Because now they're getting wise. We want more money. Now what a predicament we're in. We can't make the products here. We don't have anything we manufacture in this country. Now they're going to duke us by raising the prices. If you live the quiet and peaceful life, it won't make no difference. Oh, come on, lights. Everything that we need is already provided to us. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, listen at verse 7 through 12. For you yourselves know how you ought to follow our example. We were not idle while we were with you, nor did we eat one's food without paying for it. On the contrary, we worked night and day, laboring and toiling, so that we would not be burdened to anyone. We did this not because we did not have the rights to such help, but in order to make ourselves a model for you to follow. For even when we were with you, we gave you this rule: if a man will not work, he shall not eat. We heard that some among you are idle. They're not busy, they're busy bodies. Such people command and urge in the Lord Jesus Christ to settle down and earn the bread that they eat. Listen at me. When it says that if you don't work, you don't eat, we got that concept messed up. We're saying a J-O-B, just over broke. Just over broke don't mean you're going to eat. Know what it means? That 80,000 people last month was laid off. Amen, lights.
Amen.
You see, if they were working with their own hands, it would not be a problem. In 3 months, it is fall. The unemployment rate has gone up each month. All these folks now are in a tizzy trying to find out how they're going to make ends meet. The soccer games and the nice homes about to leave them. Listen at me. The word is clear and true. Learn to live a quiet and peaceful life. Titus chapter 3 verse 14 says, our people must learn to devote themselves to doing what is good in order that they may provide for daily necessities and live unproductive lives. Where it is, the scriptures talking about living the way Christ and his apostles gave us instructions to live. Now, there's some things I want to give you that might help you along the way. There are three or four things that if we would grab hold of, we could start this process of living a quiet and peaceful life. Number one, the simplicity of the Proverbs helps us. the writers of the Bible and the concept of voluntary simplicity says wisdom is one of the keys. And they're found in Proverbs, the Psalms, Ecclesiastics. I encourage you every day to read a Proverbs, a Psalm, and Ecclesiastics. I've told you before, and I'll tell you again, that you can get a Bible or go online and every day. If you would listen at Brian, does anybody know who Brian is?
Yes, amen.
He's on your computer. Every time you get something from me, he's sitting right down there at the bottom.
Amen.
All you got to do is click on him every day, and you'll get your Proverbs, Psalms, Old Testament, New Testament. Can I get a witness?
Amen.
Listen to Proverbs 15 and 6. Better it a little with the fear of the Lord than great treasures and trouble with it. Did you hear that? The fear of the Lord is, as Scripture says several times, the beginning of wisdom. The trouble refers here to the very particular kind. Hebrew word is M-E-H-U-M-A-H, for those who want to deal with it from that perspective, which refers to turmoil or uproar. Proverbs here is telling us not to live in an uproar. Turn the music off or at minimal down. Don't allow yourself to be drawn into loud, boisterous places and situations. Help me, somebody.
Amen.
Now, again, this concept is probably given further prudence by Amos chapter 3, verse 9 and 10, which reads, the proclamation of the fortresses of Ashad and to the fortresses of Egypt. Assemble yourselves on the mountain of Somalia. Seek the great unrest within her and the oppression among her people. Did you hear that? The great unrest. Who is having more unrest than we are having now? Now we're revisiting 40 years ago what Martin Luther King tried to tell us, that we, when we're divided, we cannot stand. And 40 years later, we still divided. Sunday's the most segregated hour in this nation. Oh, y'all, come on with me.
Amen.
We're still under the problems that we were under 40 years ago. But we now compound them, because we refuse to obey the teachings. Verse 10 of Amos chapter 3. They do not know how to do right, declareth the Lord, who hoard, plunder, and loot their fortresses. The point of Proverbs is that obeying the divine command is to do justice to others and may require one to lead a simple life, church. Can I get a witness?
Amen.
So the question comes, are you living a simple life in accordance with the scriptures? Proverbs 17 and 1 says, better a dry morsel with quiet than a house full of feasting with strife.
Amen.
The second half of this proverb has been paraphrased in New Revised Standard Version. The Hebrew literally says, then a house full of sacrifice of strife. The next area I want you to listen at real closely. The ancient Israelites ate little meat.
Amen.
Livestock, church, was more important for wool, milk, and work than for meal. And it's true today with the Amish. To kill one's livestock was unthrifty. One would do so only for a good reason. One reason to kill an animal was at the act of worship. Amen?
Amen.
Then an animal was offered in sacrifice. The persons who offered it usually ate it. Therefore, a house full of sacrifice would be a house full of feasting on chosen food. You know how we do a Thanksgiving.
Mm-hmm.
We all come together and we have turkey and dressing and in some households, ham. You know, it's funny, when you be obedient, then you start, we don't have no more ham. I noticed nobody's really looking sad. I don't have no more ham. You see, we all make choices. I had a little discussion before I finished this thought with Kim and Connie yesterday. And I'll just throw it out there to you, and you think about it. If you're born again, can you live not in sin?
Amen.
I'm glad somebody said amen. Because I believe the consensus is that we all sin and fall short of the glory of God. That's a fact. But when
amen.
You turn your life over to God, the Bible says that we can no longer live in sin. And now we go to the world side of it. Well, everybody sins. Either you might not kill anybody, but you think a bad thought. And are we not trained that we can overcome those fiery darts? You see, they're coming at you because you live in a darkened world. But the fact of the matter is we don't have to yield to them. Can I get a witness? We have dunamis power over evil. Oh, y'all, Miles, I'm not getting any too many amens in here.
Amen.
Now, if you don't agree with the concept, don't say amen. If you believe you got to go on and sin, and then God will forgive us, he gives us another chance, keep on thinking that. Back on my point with this eating food. You see, when we go to feasting and frolicking, that's what this text was telling us. Better it a dry morsel with a quiet house full of feasting, which brings strife. I hope y'all got that. It brings indigestion. It brings heartburn.
Yeah.
It brings people leaving your house with two and three plates wrapped up in Reynolds wrap. Oh, y'all might as well come on, say amen.
Amen.
You see, a quiet house, there ain't nothing going out of that one. Oh, y'all, come on with me now. You see, you know, and then bring others. You know, this is my cousin George. And how many plates he won? That's what this text is telling us. Give you a couple of more, and we'll move on. Ecclesiastics, one of the things you blessed this morning, that I ran out of ink. And so when I went to print this, some of it I can't even see. And that was the Lord's way of skipping over those. Take them down. Proverbs 37:16. I can see part of it says, better a little that the righteous person has than the abundance of many wicked. That is clear, is it not?
Amen.
Ecclesiastes 4:16. Better is a handful with quiet than two hands full with toil, chasing after the wind. Go ahead and read the rest of that down. I actually wanted to cover a couple of things. I'm asking you at your leisure to look up the word SEPTUAGINT. SEPTUAGINT. Now, I see some people ain't moving their pen. Now, they must be writing through osmosis of the brain. Let me say it one more time. SEPTUAGINT.
U-A-T-I-N.
It's a T at the end. SEPTUAGINT. Y'all about to make me laugh up in here. Y'all got it? All right. Look that word up. Because it will explain to you how there were translations of words. And if you go back in the Septuagint, you will find that there is a difference of the wording. For example, the Septuagint reads, better is a handful of rest than two hands full of trouble, and wearworthiness of spirit. And you can find those if you look for them on the internet, and some Bibles have them in it. Next point. So that you, those who might have lost count, I've only given you one point. Amen?
Amen.
And that one point is what? Simplicity of the Proverbs. Second point, modesty. If you want to live a quiet and peaceful life, church, you and I must be modest and have modesty that is rare in Scripture, but it's clearly there. You and I must live in a modest and modestly. Now, that ain't gonna sit good. So let me help you with this. When you clearly understand the concept of voluntary simplicity, you can derive many teachings, and these teachings will lead you to be a modest person. We're not to be people that are flamboyant. Listen to Paul, to Timothy. Women should dress themselves modestly and decently in suitable clothing, not with their hairs braided or with gold or pearls or expensive clothing. Let me continue that on. Or with loose-fitting brassieres or none at all on cup 15 or 30. And tattoos running up and down their arms and legs and on the back of the heels. We should be modest people.
Amen. Amen.
I had Kimberly mention yesterday that she was at the mall and saw a lady that was dressed from head to toe covered. And if I understood her correctly, she said the only thing you can see was her eyes.
Yep.
And for the life of me, how we missed that clear requirement for us. We're not, our women and our men, by the way, you see our men now, they have no modesty about them. They walk around with their pants down. We go to the mall and every morning, these are people who work in the mall. Perverts who get out of the car with their underwear, all of their pants all the way down, and all we're seeing is people's drawers. Oh, y'all come on with me.
Amen.
That is not the dress of a believer.
Amen.
And they don't even try to pull him up. This one clown, he walked all up, had his hat on backwards, his earring in there, and his cross on. And he walked all the way in, and I'm walking around, and here he is opening up a store. And I'm saying, what nut trust this guy to run their business? And when I come back around, he's sitting there looking just like he needs his pants down. And his behind whooped. Ask Connie. There ain't one we see most of them. Christians don't do that. We don't walk around with these weird hairdos and weird this and weird that and stuff that stands out. People should walk by us and not notice us.
Amen.
Oh, come on, lights.
Amen.
You see, that's the start of this getting to the point of a simple and quiet life. You see, we dress to impress people, not to impress God. Oh, y'all come on with me.
Amen.
We don't dress our children for godliness. We dress them for worldliness. And then when we have an epidemic of pregnancy in our community, we don't understand it.
Amen.
Mothers who are children themselves, having children and children. And the pregnators, they're like some kind of a steroid. They just go from one to the next to the next. Now, y'all, it bears to listen at this sermon this morning. You see, we're to be quiet and peaceful people. Boys don't go look at the Amish girls because they know before they get there and they're going to have a hellacious mind. Because there's nothing that's going to attract them to them. Oh, y'all might as well say amen. Our women and men should look like God in the flesh. And we should not adorn ourselves outwardly, as we've been told by Peter, but we should have this inward, quiet, and gentle spirit. It is the most beautiful thing to see a true Muslim woman who has a shamefacedness about her. You can spot the genuine from the artificial. Can I get a witness?
Amen.
And when you see the genuine, it takes my breath. Because I know God's word is true, that the many will not, but there will be a few, a remnant that will live quiet and peaceful lives with all due reverence and respect for Almighty God. And you and I must make choices if we want to live modestly. Look at the money you would save if you had on plain and simple clothes that fits you, that you might be able to wear next season.
Mm-hmm.
I look at these children. I don't see how these girls get in these blue jeans. I really don't see how they do it.
Amen.
They must put Vaseline inside them and slide them up. I really don't. I mean, two things I'm really having trouble with. One is how all these people riding around here with one hand turning corners and cell phone in the other hand. And their head tilted to the left side. They can't be looking at the highway. They got the left side, hey girl, and then that hand going, it's the most freakish thing I've ever seen in my life. And of course some of them don't make it. They run across that line and that is all over. We had some gentleman that got killed on Southside the other day. Nobody to this day can tell me what made him go with that medium strip and run into a pickup truck, and it was all over. You see, I believe a lot of these things that are happening is because people are not paying attention. They're too busy trying to drive with instead of two hands, but one, and the other hand on the cell phone. I saw a sister the other day. She was driving with the left hand, to visualize this, and text messaging with the right hand. And not looking at nobody's road. They shouldn't require you to take a test to get a cell phone. I'm off that.
Amen.
You see, this culture perpetuates this notion of being other than modest. As I go through the mall, I notice that all the stores now, they're hurting, so everybody got 50, 60, and 70% sales. Those aren't sales. Those are inducements to get the little bit of money you got left.
Amen.
You don't know how much they pay for that Chinese stuff.
Amen.
Next point. Quietness.
Amen.
Proverbs 15:6 says, better a little with the fear of the Lord than great treasures and trouble with it. You know, I've noticed this too. You know, you're starting to see people have their cars sitting on their in their driveways with what on it? for sale signs. If you hadn't looked, start looking around, see how many cars are sitting in people's driveways for sale and parked in the mall, you know, at the back where you can see them. You see, we have opponents to have three or four cars in a two-family house. I got a Jehovah's Witnesses two doors from me that when we sent out the cards for, what was it, sugar diabetes, or we get this nasty note back saying that we don't believe in this and all that and all that, and we're on part of 144,000. And he's sitting down there with five cars sitting on his lot, and he's 70-some years old. You see, the Bible said you're known by your fruits. You can talk a good game, but watch the walk.
Amen.
Watch the quietness.
Amen.
You know how it goes. You come in a room, and as soon as the person gets there, bam! All the quiet is just snuffed out. Go, next time you go to a mall, use your ears and see the distance that you can hear people behind you or in front of you talking. Or go to an all-you-can-eat restaurant where they're sitting there and you can hear them talking all across. You know, nobody is quiet. Can you eat in peace and quiet? Better to be a dry morsel with quiet than a house full of feasting. You see, church, we must learn to be quiet. This term is especially beloved of the Orthodox Christian who develops a profound system of prayer and the practice of godly things. My question to you this morning, are you quiet? Can people find you as a quiet and gentle spirit? Or are you loud and boisterous? Let me hit you with that again. Turn on your television and then listen tentatively at every commercial that comes on. Does it knock your volume up two or three notches? Of course it does. It's done that on purpose. The devil is always a deceitful one. He knows that you're sitting there in a cabbage state of mind, and he has to wake you out of it to buy his products. And so he goes, bam! And you listen at the commercials, and then they lull you back in to renewing your mind and what they want you to renew it in. Somebody might say, man, I'm stepping on toes now.
Amen.
I would like to suggest to you that you go into your secret closet. Find some place in your house where you don't hear anything. When? Now, of course, with little Joseph there, that's not always possible.
Amen.
But there are times when it is.
Amen.
Because even little Joseph takes naps.
Mm-hmm.
You and I must find quiet time to reflect on life, God's
Amen.
Word, and Amen. Our place in the kingdom. Can I get a witness?
Amen.
So as I bring this to a close, Amen. Amen. Living quietly and simply is the goal that Paul presents to us today. You know, church, this is a voluntary simplicity. You know, you have to make the call if you want your life to be flamboyant or if you want it to be modest. You know, there's great, great gain in living quietly and peacefully. I know for a fact that your blood pressure will come down.
Amen.
Amen.
Noise causes your blood pressure to rise 10 to 15 points, if you didn't know it.
Amen.
If you sit in quiet and peace, it goes down. That's why they tell you to sit down, and wait 5 minutes, take your blood pressure, wait five more minutes, take it again. For those who take their blood pressure regularly like I do just about every day, it is true. every 5 minutes it goes down. Now, if Connie or I say something to her, guess what? What happened, Connie?
Amen.
That's it. Wake up. It goes up.
Amen.
Try it. Sit there and pump it and then talk. And the more you talk, the higher it's going up. Thank God for y'all. You have to determine if you want to follow this concept. Amen?
Amen.
Amen.
Live a simple life. And then you start to think about this simple life. You know, I give an example. You know, my son, Jerry, had told me some years ago, I got tired of, we had one car and kind of gone everywhere. I'm sitting up in here, don't know if I'm going to get a sugar attack or whatever. So I said, I want me a car. I just, you know, I wasn't going to sit around here with no car, so I'll go out and buy a new one. Went out to a car dealer and went to get in a Jeep. And drove the Jeep up to the door, and kind of she gets on her side. And I turned to the man, I said, sir, how do you push this steering wheel up? He said, the steering wheel's up, sir. And I said, can you push the seat back? He said, the seat's back. So I said, well, how do I get out of here? I'm half in and half out. And he looked at me and said, once you get your big butt out of here, you know you can't get in no Jeep, so why you want to look at Jeeps? So then I went to look at a Cadillac. And he said, well, you should be able to get in this one fine. Uh-huh. I pushed the seat back, pushed the steering wheel up. I got in, but it was tight. Now, I'm telling you this story to tell you that my son told me that, Daddy, don't waste money buying a new car. Just be patient, and I'll get you a used car that somebody garaged and you know, didn't use much. And I'm saying, 2 years later, I'm sitting here with a car that is debt-free, don't want a dime on it, and it rides just like a Cadillac.
Amen.
It's a Buick. I don't remember what the model, what kind of Buick is. I don't know what it is.
It's still enough.
And yeah, when two big people get in the back seat, and I'm not talking about myself, I'm talking about my daughter or me or somebody, it bounces up and down the road. Kim say I done tore the shocks up. That's why I rise up down. That boy be going up and down. But when there's two of us in there, it balances out nicely. And give God the glory. You see, that was a modest thing. So when I park it, I don't care where I park it. If you hit it, you hit it. Y'all come on with me now. If I had some fancy new car, you know how they park it out in the field and have to walk all the way in or park it on an angle? I park up alongside of you. I don't care. If you ding it, then if you hit the back door, you're going to hit my juice drinks posters. All right, let me bring this to a close. Christians must be careful, very careful, church, when we have this concern of being a busybody. We got to learn to mind our own business.
Amen.
Let me help you with that. Stop saying they or them and say I. I need grace. I need to do your will, Father. When you find yourself got to put somebody else in it with you, that means you minding somebody else's business. It is no one else's business to get into the kingdom but their own.
Amen.
Do y'all agree to that?
Amen.
You see, you and I must stand alone. We can't take our husband. We can't take our brothers. We can't take our enemies. We must stand alone. And so we don't have the time nor the luxury to mind everybody's business.
Amen. Amen.
You see, we can't poke our nose in other people's business. Now, when I mean that, I want to make sure when you start confronting people and saying, "And child, what are you doing? Why are you doing this?" That's out of the link. Your question is to pray for people who you perceive are not living godly. Can I get a witness?
Amen.
And speak truth to the word to them. Next point in closing. This quiet life. Christians are not to try to be spectacular or flamboyant. Let me put those words in everyday language. We are not to be flashy and bourgeois.
Amen.
Oh, yeah, you know, a lot of us, we get a little education or get a little job, and then we become bourgeois. And bourgeois is on the way to hell. We're taught to be humble and quiet people. Can I get a witness?
Amen.
And the other extreme to that is to walk out here with fingernails halfway around the corner.
Amen.
All kinds of weird hairdos.
Amen.
You know what the Bible teaches our women to do is that they are to comb their hair, brush their hair back or forward. But no, we done took this to a whole new height. The only place on Saturday morning at the mall, this little strip shopping center down the street from us that's full, is one. A black beauty pothole. The artificial creation. And then pray that it don't rain or that the humidity don't rise. If you just brushed your hair back, you would save a lot of money.
Amen.
I know I'm stepping into dangerous territory. And so we see that we're not to be in the spotlight. Second, our affairs should be our business. The care of our families should be paramount in our minds.
Amen.
And Christ should be always at the center of our business. You see, we could say that Christ is our business. Can I get a witness?
Amen.
I told Connie the other day when I was at Rubicon, which was years ago now. I left there in 1990. I went there in 85 when I retired from the Army. It was the substance abuse program, one that was recognized and probably still is along the East Coast. But what I saw there was demonic. I mean, I got a good dose of demonic beings. And to give you an example, the guy that was in charge, who's now gone, was a retired colonel. And we were out getting some work done on one of our facilities. The architect had did his work, and I had a check for the $5,000 in my suit jacket pocket. And the man said to the executive director, is everything fine and okay? And he said, yes. He said, well, when can I pick up my money? He said, I was the administrator, so he turned to me and said, Jerry, you should be able to get that in the next day or two. And I, unfortunately, at that time said, yeah, yes, sir. Because I was worried about my little money. Shame on me. I was worried about my little salary with that and my retirement pay put me way above the average black male in Richmond. And so I wasn't going to let nothing steal that. The moral of the story was the check was in my pocket. And I played the devil's game for money. So my question to you is, do you go on your job playing the devil's game for money? And let me tell you that the bottom line of that God had to strike me some 3 or 4 years later, and it took me 4 years more to regain my strength in him. Listen to me. You can live like the devil and play his game, but get ready for payback. some get through it and some don't. I had a fellow who's a doctor that Bree knows him, Jim May, had told me something because he was an angel that God sent to me. He knew, and they started to know that I was even having a nervous breakdown, but it was something wrong with me. And he said something to me that has always stuck with me. He said, Jerry, now he's a PhD. He said, Jerry, every day go find quiet time. And that's what I did. I went in my office and locked the door. And I opened my Bible and I prayed and said, Lord, help me through this. It was the most devastating thing that's ever happened to me. And I'm telling you this from the bottom of my heart. Don't let this system overload you.
Amen.
Find quiet time. Time to be with the Lord. Time to be with your family. No TVs, no this, no that. Just quiet time with your husband. Trust me, I've been there. God has got to be first in your life.
Amen. Amen.
And I was blessed. Listen at me. I was truly blessed because I didn't think that I could get through it. But God took me through it. My wife couldn't help me. My children couldn't help me. I remember Kim saying to me, her mother, Mama, what's wrong with him? I had lost 40 pounds. No one could help me but the Lord.
Amen.
And he could only help me when I yielded to him, when I humbled myself to him. I would go get me a quart of a Colt 45 and try to drink that and then put me to sleep. And at 1:15, I'm wide awake. Poor Connie, she did everything she could to help me. Don't you not listen to this. God is your only peace in this world.
Amen.
You can try to do all this junk and follow this kingdom. I can assure you, some seem like they make it. None of us know what goes inside people's hearts and in their minds. As far as that go, in their homes. Turn your life over to Christ and live a quiet life. Third and finally, believers ought to work with their own hands. I keep studying this because it contradicts everything I see. Take down 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 12. Instruct Christians to follow the example of manual labors good for all. Listen to me. We're getting bombarded with people losing their jobs. I saw someone says there's only 3 manufacturing industries left in this country. We're a nation of information. And that's why most people work in call centers. It's one of the biggest employers in the Richmond area. Listen to me. We need to get back to manual labor. Because that's what the Amish do, and that's what the Bible teaches. Work with your own hands so that you have something to give to someone in need. Can I get a witness?
Amen.
You can keep working just over broke jobs if you want to. You're going to find that every month they're going to decrease. I don't believe it's coming back because we're in a global economy and we got cheap labor all over the globe.
Amen.
And along those same lines, if your children aren't reading books, get them in books.
Mm-hmm.
Pakistan and China are outnumbering us with intellectuals. We don't have no engineers. They got 9-to-1. We walk around with our pants down and hair twisted up and acting like we some kind of cool nobodies. This is a world situation, and this gospel is worldly. God's word spreads from one end of this globe to the other. And the only people who are going to be winners are those who are in Christ Jesus.
Amen.
Bible says you ain't seen what's coming. It's going to intensify. And I'm trying to prepare you. Live a quiet and simple life. So when all this foolishness unfolds, you and I are not in it. Can I get a witness?
Amen.
Almost $4 a gallon of gas and milk, $5 going on up. You will work with your hands sooner or later.
Amen.
I say start planting tomatoes now. And work your way from there. Do something. Go find something to plant. Well, God bless y'all for listening. Let's pray. All right, go ahead, dig it up. If you want to go that way. Amen.
God,
amen.
He is good.
I want to lead you to Philippians. Philippians chapter 3. Begin with verse 17. Before that, I want to pray. Dear gracious Heavenly Father, we come to you on this day, which you've given us. Father, only you know within yourself what we go through, what details in our life.
Amen.
Father, only you know how life has shaken, sometimes nearly broken, the ways that you've given. We ask, Father, that you continue to strengthen, to mend, bring together that which you have brought.
Yes, thank you.
And want it to be. Because if you didn't want it to happen today, you wouldn't be here listening to your word.
Amen.
Father, we thank you. We allow that your word be read.
Yes.
No, dear brothers, I am still not all I should be.
Well,
but I am bringing all my energy to bear on this one thing, forgetting the past and looking towards and looking forward to what lies ahead. I strain to reach the end of the race and receive the prize for which God is calling us up to heaven because of what Christ Jesus did for us. I hope all of you who are mature Christians will see eye to eye with me on things. And if you disagree on some point, I believe that God will make it plain.
Yes, he will.
To you, if you fully obey the truth you have, may God have a blessing.
Amen. Church, amen.
Amen.
And while we're getting ready to take our communion here and elsewhere throughout the church, please email us the tapes that you need. I know some, Bree has some that need. Email me which one. Go to the church website and see which ones that you don't have or you want to have. And we'll get those out in the mail the first part of this week. We'll be back in operation on that. And once Priscilla gets situated, we got to get back on our monthly church newsletter. And that's needed because, see, my sister can't listen to the tape. You can't stop her from reading the newsletter. I guess he can. Throwing in the trash. But we need to get that. The young lady in Japan could use that. We have to use everything at our disposal.
Amen.
Amen.
On your side, like a DVD or CD player, right?
No, she's got one in the house. He stays watching television. It's all in the entertainment room.
I won't say if she's deep.
Yeah, that's a possibility, but I don't want to go there yet. Deacon Edison said, maybe we can send her a CD player. But I'm saying, no. She'd have to, I'd have to know she's in the Word. Amen.
Amen.
Hopefully, y'all will enjoy these or like this new concept of our communion all being one thing. It's very easy. Connie got hers open. And we'll get those in the mail this week, too.
Yes.
Yeah. Do what? All right, we're waiting for everybody to be served. The kids are coming as soon as we get everybody situated. This morning, for the sake of time, I encourage you at your leisure to read through 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Talks about us taking our communion. As often as we do this, we do it in remembrance of Him. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Deacon Edison. Let us pray. Father God, we ask now that you bless this bread and this wine, which symbolizes the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ and his body, which he shed for us on Calvary's cross. We ask that you sanctify it for the purpose you've set it aside, and that those of us who partake of it, that we have the blessings from on high. I pray these and all other blessings in the name of Jesus, in whose name we pray. Let the church say amen.
Amen.
Amen. Let us commune together on the body of our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. You can break it. Yeah. In there?
Oh, yes, sir.
Okay. Let us commune together. Father, we do thank you for this opportunity that you allow us to do this commandment that you've given us. We pray that your mercy and grace rest on all who partake. We pray in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. After the supper, he took the cup, which symbolized his body. Let's commune together on the blood of our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Lord, we pray for your mercy. We pray for your grace. We pray in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. God bless you. Trustee Reeves, if you would give us our offertory.
This is from last.
That's right. Yeah, we have last week. Do you want to forego that this week, or you want to go ahead and do it?
It doesn't matter.
Okay, great. While she's getting the report for the church, while we're getting, yeah, we still haven't gotten to synchronize that when we talk, everybody hears everybody talking, but we'll get there. Again, I remind you this week to get your request for tapes out. I was encouraged by Aaron through an email to ask me, do we send out the daily devotions on the weekend? And I thank her for that, because I did send them out on yesterday, as you probably well aware.
Amen.
And I'll send out one today. And she's
Amen.
Right. There's 7 days, not 5 days in God's kingdom. Amen.
Amen.
And we need to hear a word every day.
Amen.
And so I thank her for that. Amen.
Amen.
Is any questions or comments while Mimi's figuring up the offertory?
Okay.
Take your time.
Last Sunday, we collected $31. So that brings our total for March to $423.85.
Amen. Can the church say amen?
Amen. Amen.
All for God's glory, all for God's worship. Let us pray. Father, we do ask that you bless this offering from last week and this week. We ask that you bless those who gave, those who had not to give, those who had the spirit to give. May we use it for the uplifting of your kingdom, no other cause. We pray these and all other blessings in the name of Jesus, in whose name we pray.
Amen.
Amen. Keep those who are in need of prayer. I don't not take up time, but the sister, I'm assuming you're still ministering to the lady that was in need of prayer.
I am. I talk to her when I see her. She hasn't been to work lately, so I'm waiting to check back with her.
All right, we'll keep her on our prayer list. And Brother George, Sister Corbin, Brother Wayne, how's Brother George doing?
He's doing much better, thank you.
Praise the Lord. Keep him in. And at Mimi's job, there were her mother, for one. How's your mother doing?
She's doing fine.
Well, we give God the glory, and we'll keep praying for Anthony.
Johnny.
Johnny, okay. Yes. Anyone else have anyone that we need to lift up for prayer?
Yes. Let me pray for my girlfriend's family because her grandma just died.
I'm sorry to hear that, and we will keep her in our prayers. What's her name, Anthony?
Jacinda.
Jacinda, okay. We'll keep Jacinda in prayer. Church, we are praying, church. Amen?
Amen.
Amen.
And the Bible said the fervent prayers of the righteous prevaileth much. So I encourage you to pray for those who are lifted up. This sermon should be out on the website, hopefully before the end of the day. I tried it last Sunday. What happened is that the server froze up, so I had to wait till Monday to call them to get it out there. All minds clear?
Amen.
Wherever you go, take the name of Jesus with you. God bless you, and may heaven smile on you until we meet on Wednesday. Amen?
Amen.
Amen.
All right. Bye-bye to all. God bless you.
God bless.
God bless.
Bye-bye.
Have a blessed day.
Amen. Thank you.
Amen.